We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim, and welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. A lot to talk about this week because we have the beginning of spring football. So we get a chance to talk with head coach Justin Wilcox a little bit later on. Sharman Smith, coming off a big win over Arizona State and getting ready for another matchup with Stanford this weekend, will join us as well. All right. First of all, Coach Wilcox, on Wednesday, you had your first practice. Tell us how it went and what were some things that you were maybe able to do that you couldn't do in the fall, or maybe some of the restrictions that you still have to endure.
Yep. Well, anytime you get back on the field, it's a good day. It was great to be out there with the players, coaches, everybody, just, you know, being back on the field. It's such a great feeling. And a couple of things, you know, in terms of the restrictions, we still can't use a facility. We can use the weight room. I should say that we use a weight room in groups of 25, but no locker rooms, no meeting rooms, nothing like that. We split the field in two. So you basically have two fields inside Memorial Stadium, and you can't have, you know, a certain number on one field at any given time. So it still allows us to practice, and we can cross over, but there are restrictions on the numbers on each field inside Memorial Stadium, so to speak. It's a bit unique where we have about 100 players involved in spring ball, which in my coaching career and playing career, I don't think I've ever seen, because we've had a number of players, thankfully, seniors who are rejoining us for the 2021 season, and also a number of mid-year enrollees. So we have a really good size roster, and it's, you know, there have been times in spring football in the past where, you know, you only have one and a half groups of O-linemen or a group and a half of DBs or something. So it really makes it hard to do a ton of crossover. But right now we got numbers, and so we should get a lot of really good repetitions for everybody on the team.
So you've got a demarcation line, I assume, like the 50-yard line. But as opposed to politics, you can actually have people cross over the lines just so you balance them out in the proper numbers, right?
That's exactly right.
And then the fact that you have 100 guys on the field, you know, last year you can only have 75 at most on one field. Are there guys that are meeting some teammates or seeing teammates person to person for the first time in like 11 months?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, and there's a story that came up in this offseason when I met with our players that, you know, if you were a veteran offensive lineman and you were in the group of 75 and your workout time was such, and there is a freshman DB who maybe wasn't in the 75 during the fall practice and he had a different workout time, they may have never seen each other, you know? And so thankfully we've had enough crossover, you know, kind of walking from place to place that the guys now have a much better idea. But it has been hard in that regard because so much of football, the chemistry built is in the locker room. It's in the cafeteria. It's in the workouts with the entire team. So we have missed that. And I don't know that there's a great way to make that up right now. We all wish it wasn't that way, but that's the world we're living in. So there have been those moments where, you know, again, a senior O lineman who's been traveling and maybe a freshman defensive back who just got here in summer or this past summer, who wasn't in that same practice, maybe they might not have ever talked before. And so we're looking forward to the day where we can really get the guy. I mean, the locker room physically is an important place, but just for the development of the team chemistry, it's incredibly important. So we're looking forward to that. And then also being able to sit down and share a meal together.
You're also starting spring practice. One short in the full-time assistance category. You're looking for somebody on the defensive side, and you've had some staff changes. It's not unusual. Everybody goes through this, you know, by the time the season ends and before spring practice begins. Tell us a little bit about, I mean, Keith Hayward. I've known him since he was a player at Oregon State, and then he was a coach up there. And in fact, I actually had him on a guest on my TV show years ago. And so I've known Keith for a long time, and so I know what he's like, and you do. But tell us a little about Keith, going to coach the outside linebackers at this point in time, and also Jeep Christ, who you just hired a couple of days ago as well.
Yeah, it's part of college football, as you know, is there's going to be change. And we wish the guys well who were with us. But we've added some, you know, phenomenal people to the staff. And Keith Hayward, Brian Johnson, strength and conditioning, been outstanding. Jeep Christ. We will hire a new defensive coach probably here in the short term. You know, speaking about Keith, I've known Keith a long time, and first and foremost, he's just a great person. He's a very humble guy, hardworking person. He's incredibly intelligent, really smart. He's a great communicator. Got all the things that you look for in terms of a staff member and a coworker and a peer. So I just think the world of him. He's going to work with our front. He's really eager to work with the outside linebackers, and he'll do a great job with them in terms of building a relationship, being very technical and making sure they're detailed in what we're asking them to do. And he'll also, you know, be a huge asset in recruiting. So very pleased that Keith chose to come down and join us.
And then you mentioned Brian Johnson, strength and conditioning. I mean, that's the guy that sees more of the players than anybody else in your administration. Obviously, the goal is we want to be bigger, faster, stronger. Okay, everybody wants to do that. What is it about Brian that made him stand out in your mind that he could do what you wanted to be done here at Cal?
Brian, and going through that process, I think you mentioned it, everybody's bigger, faster, stronger. Well, how are we going to do that? All right. And there's a lot of people that can motivate. And then there's a lot of people that can, you know, maybe build a program. Not as many people can do both. I really think Brian, he is, when you talk to him about strength and conditioning, I mean, he's an expert in terms of programming and how to train a football player and the different positions and what those requirements are for those positions, how to increase mass and strength that's functional to football, and then also the presence and, you know, the motivational skills it takes at that position. I think he just is got a rare skill set. Again, an incredibly intelligent guy. And he's, in a very short time, really captured the team. So we're fortunate that Brian's here. And it's been really great to just get to work with him here for the last 6 weeks or so.
You know, there are parts of the country where they can start spring football the last week of February. There are other parts of the country where they can do it, but it has to be indoors. So at least on day one, you've been blessed with perfect weather for that. But talk about the early start. I mean, February the 24th, I mean, in years past, we've seen people with various programs all over the board. Some like to get it done before their spring break. Some are willing to split it up. Some are saying, well, we want to be outdoors, so we got to do it after spring break. But why was it important for you to get started now?
Well, we discussed all those options, Todd, and we've done all those different schedules in our past. You know, we've split it before where we did some before spring break and some after. We've gone entirely after spring break, entirely before spring break. And there is, I guess, good and bad in all of it. You know, there's no perfect way. We felt like if the guys were prepared from this last 5 weeks, because it was a bit unique, we are a little bit earlier, and we did have a big break in December and January. So we wanted to make sure that we could prepare them physically for the rigors of spring ball, and also be cognizant of they haven't been going for 2 months straight in terms of working out. However, we felt like we could get to a place where we could get some really good work in. You know, going after spring break, there's a kind of opens up some other issues, whether it's quarantining, you know, when you come back, what is a extended break do to their conditioning? What is an extended break between quarantine and spring break do to potential risk of infection and all those things? So we felt like for us, it would be great and best if we could start spring ball, get some really good work in. We anticipate finishing before spring break. We also really put a value on the strength and conditioning work that we would get after spring break and leading into summer. So our team can really spend time together in the weight room, continuing to build their bodies throughout the remainder of spring and into summer and fall camp.
You know, the one advantage maybe programs that are on the quarter system have, and the reason they would go after their spring break, is they can actually get people transfer into their school. Mm-hmm. And so they become eligible and they get the spring break, and then they're eligible for the spring term. I guess it's a quarter system. So there's kind of advantages and disadvantages all the way around for the semesters versus the quarters vis-a-vis academics as well. Also talk about, you know, Coach Musgrave mentioned a couple of weeks ago when he was on a Zoom cast that he was hoping to take the training wheels off the offense. That was the term that he used. I loved it. What did he mean by that?
Well, I think anytime there's a new system, and especially when you have truncated spring ball and fall camp, you know, there's so much that you can do. And we wanted to make sure that the guys knew what we were asking them to do in terms of the schematics. There's more to the offense, I think, than we showed last year. Ultimately, it's about installing it, getting really good repetitions at it, becoming proficient, and then being able to go execute it during a game. So I think he's excited. I mean, I think I mentioned this in the last hour, but the more time, what we need as a team, what our team needs, and I know everybody does, but we need time together. We need time in meetings. We need time on the practice field. We need to work out together. We need to get into the details of offense, defense, and special teams so we can execute at a higher level. We can be better conditioned. So we're appreciative of every opportunity we get to do just that.
Well, one of the things your team has done extremely well is the academic component, continue to improve in that area. As a team, you've got a 3-1-4 in the last term, the fall term, 3.0 or better, 74 guys. That's pretty remarkable. And Mike Soffel was named the Pac-12 Scholar Athlete of the Year. I think any of us that have been around him, have interviewed him, talked to him, just know how bright this guy is. But to receive that kind of an award, that's pretty special.
Yeah. I mean, it's one person. There's a lot of competition for an award like that. And to win that award, and be the player that he is, and more importantly, the person that he is really impressive. We're proud of Mike. He's been here our entire tenure, and they're just, you know, there's just guys that you learn to love to be around, and Mike's one of those guys. I mean, he makes practice more enjoyable. He makes meetings more enjoyable. He's a great teammate. And we got a lot of those guys, but Mike is just a stellar example of what it means to be a Cal Bear football player.
Well, with all the grad schools that he has been to and is going to be in, he may be around for quite some time as well, but he'll be a success in whatever he decides to do. One final note, and that would be recruiting and then also roster size. I know we had a Zoom meeting earlier this week with Coach Fox about basketball, and we're not talking big numbers, but percentage-wise, two guys out of 13, that's a big percentage. And it was announced that Grant Antisevich and Mikhail Foreman were coming back next year, even though they could get their graduation underway and finish this year. What do you do with scholarship numbers and recruiting going forward? And by the same token, the NCAA has pushed back the evaluation period until like the end of May. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you've done the virtual stuff and been really good at it, but at some point in time, you'd love to get them on campus or you'd love to go see them in games or camps or whatever.
Yeah. So we're planning on June as of right now that we'll be able to do that. Things obviously have to continue to get better in terms of the restrictions regarding COVID-19. We're anticipating June being able to do that. So we're planning accordingly. The scholarship numbers and the roster is always going to be evolving. And, you know, when we released the roster, essentially we matriculated everybody, but there's also a known that guys can have that option. You know, if they reach their senior year and they get to the end of that senior year and, you know, we sit down and talk and they would like to continue to play here and we think it's a good fit, then we'll continue to keep them, you know, for that bonus year. I don't know how that will all play out. You know, everybody's situation's a little bit different. Some guys, you know, may approach it like they didn't get that full year last year and in their minds it didn't exist. And other guys, it's part of their process and they're going to just keep moving forward as they would have on a normal year. So we'll handle those one by one as each guy enters his final year of eligibility.
But as years go on, you won't be limited to just 85 scholarships. Is that correct? Or will at some point in time, will they come back to 85?
Yeah, it's going to be 85.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
that means you might have a recruiting class one year where you might have six guys.
Yeah. So again, that's where in the recruiting class, the signees may, you know, there may be a time based on that senior class that you would. And if you anticipate some of those seniors coming back for the extra year, you wouldn't sign the number that you actually could. Yeah.
Okay.
To keep it a little bit smaller. So you stockpile two or three here or two or three there.
Yeah, I got you. Well, that's where the grad transfer portal probably will come into play a lot more than it has in years past too, I would think.
Yeah, I think the transfer portal in general is going to be a big part of, this roster management for everybody across the country in the next 4 to 5 years because of all this.
Well, we appreciate your time, and hopefully you'll be able to get all 15 workouts in as opposed to just four last year. We'll get a little bit more back to normal. You have good off-season conditioning and so forth. But good luck over the course of the next couple of weeks. I know you'll thoroughly enjoy it because at least – for the next practice or two, you're going to be like the DB coach, right?
Oh, yeah. Today was, we had meetings and drills and team and 7-on-7. I was right in the thick of it, and I had a ton of fun. I cannot
speak. Did the players have fun, too? I assume.
You probably need to ask them. I don't want to speak for the players.
When the head coach is your position coach, there's just more attention to detail, okay?
Because
the big boss is watching.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for them, but I had a lot of fun. So.
Well, that's good. And I'm sure they did as well. Anyway, Justin, we appreciate your time. Stay healthy, keep the team healthy, and we look forward to talking to you down the road.
All right, great seeing you. Thanks, Todd.
You bet. Well, joining me now is women's basketball coach Sharman Smith, whose team will play its final regular season game this week against Stanford Sunday, 1 o'clock at Maples Pavilion. And then it's on to the Pac-12 tournament next week, starting Wednesday at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But first, well, we're coming to the end of the month of February, Sharman, Black History Month. And I noticed all season long that you've done, not only you as an individual, but as your team, have done various things to promote racial justice, and in particular this month being Black History Month. Can you tell us what some of those things have been, whether it's you personally or things that you've done with your team or the team as a whole to make everybody appreciate Black History Month?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, this year, you know, going back to May of 2020 and just everything with, you know, the murder of George Floyd and it being during a pandemic, which really sparked the nation and, you know, drew a lot of attention to the systemic racism that we have in this country. It's been there, but for some reason, because everyone, I guess, was home on their couch, you know, during a pandemic, the response was a lot different. And, you know, we decided as a team then that we'd be leaders in this fight against racial injustice. And we've continued to do that to this day. It just so happens that it's Black History Month as well. But, you know, our players, Kylan Crocker and Sierra Ritchie, started the Racial Justice Council here in the athletics department. And they've done phenomenal work thus far just in educating and training not only our student athletes, but our staff as well. And I know that will continue on and be definitely a part of Kylan and Sierra's legacy as Golden Bears. Our team, our staff, we decided to wear shirts for every game to continue the conversation because this isn't just something that you should talk about, you know, while playing in a bubble, you know, like the NBA. Or something. This is everyday conversation. This should be everyday focus for everyone in this country. And so we've been using the shirts as a way to draw attention to the issues and continue the conversation. And we'll have to think about what it looks like next year and how we continue the conversation. But this problem isn't going away overnight, so the work shouldn't go away overnight either.
Yeah, I've been really intrigued by the various messages on the various T-shirts. You guys have been really good and creative, but yet to the point. And so it's been, with a lot of games being on TV, it's a great way. You've got the forum to do that, and the T-shirts. Every time they take a shot of you on the sideline, go, oh, that's kind of the interesting T-shirt this week, and the thought behind it. So congratulations to both you and your team for taking that stand and to be at the forefront, quite frankly. And a lot of things that are being done on campus, and certainly that translates on campus to around the United States as well. So congratulations on that effort, Sharman. You've done a terrific job. Let's talk about the direction of your team. Right now you're on a one-game winning streak because you came really close. I'm watching that Arizona game, and Arizona, they're a top 10 team, and they have been for much of the season. And like, you got the lead. It's like into the fourth quarter, can we find a way to finish it? And, you know, Arizona's going to make a run, and unfortunately just couldn't get the ball to go in the basket in the final quarter. But that showed me that you're making progress despite the fact, I mean, you've missed so many games with postponements. And then you got that win over Arizona State, kind of the culmination of the regular season. You guys did so many good things in that game. And you also at times were playing more of the style that I think you wanted to play all along, with, you know, a little bit more aggressiveness defensively. You shot the ball well. You finished the game at the free throw line. Just the satisfaction on senior day to get that win against Arizona State.
Yeah. And, you know, we have some magical moments here on senior day. you know, you think back about some of the really special games that have taken place for some of our seniors. So, It's a great thing that we were able to, you know, get that win for Archer and get the win for the program the first of the season. You know, it was just a huge relief, to be honest with you. And you talk about where we were against Arizona and having the postponements and the cancellations. And honestly, those postponements of not having games allowed us to do what we were supposed to do in the preseason and never had time to do. Right. This season has all been about rushing a very young group to be somewhere that they weren't ready to be. And when we have 2 weeks because of a COVID pause or 2 weeks because we don't have enough players that are healthy, we were really able to dive into ourselves and dive into the team and go back on some things and teach things a little more thoroughly, right? We completely changed our offense prior to the Arizona weekend. And you're right, trying to get to playing Cal basketball. And that's been the issue with this season. It was just, we weren't ready in a lot of ways. And you can tell in January playing the Arizona schools and then come back to late February, we're a completely different team. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say, you know, the addition of Mia Mastroff it's been critical. I mean, at Arizona, we had 31 turnovers, couldn't get the ball over half court most of the time, because when they took away Leilani, we didn't have another ball handler. The past weekend, Mia's running the point and getting Leilani shots at the two and helping us, right? So she's just been a great addition. I'm so glad that she could come early. And, you know, I think she's going to help us on Sunday against Stanford. I'm looking at the stats. We had 33 turnovers in the first game against Stanford. And again, that was Kiana taking care of, you know, really pressuring Leilani, and then them forcing other people to have to make decisions and handle the ball who weren't ready in December at that to be making those type of decisions against the number one team in the country. So you add in Mia and you add in, you know, the development that DeLay has been able to do, the development that, you know, even Sierra Ritchie's been able to do. And I think you're going to see a much better team on Sunday against Stanford. Now it's just a matter of how much better Stanford's gotten from December too.
Well, you know, at the time you first faced them, they were the number one team in the country.
Yeah.
Okay, back on December I think it was the 13th, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
But and they've already clinched, you know, the regular season championship of the Pac-12. They'll be the number one seed, etc. It's going to be their senior day as well. So I mean, there's a lot going on Sunday. There've been some terrific games between these two programs. But getting back to Mia, I mean, she came in her very first game. She had 20 points against Utah. I mean, I'm watching that game and I go, oh my goodness, this young lady gets it. I mean, she just makes plays. She's a long strider. So she would get up the court. I mean, she's blowing by people with the long stride. Now, nobody knew who she was at the time. Obviously, Utah didn't have a scout on her. And since then, teams, you know, have done a different job on her. But to have that second ball handler and to have a player that seems to have the wherewithal just to know how to make the right plays.
Yep.
And with that second guard in the lineup, I mean, she's made a terrific difference so far in your team.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, not only maybe Utah didn't have the scout. I mean, I'm sure they watched Cal Stars over the summer, you know, but you know, we've had success with our perimeter play against Utah. You think back when Kylan Crocker, we got a win at Utah and she had a career high. And so that they have a little trouble guarding more than you know, our perimeter players. I can say more than other teams. Colorado plays a completely different style. I knew that, you know, that was going to be a difference there. But like I said, even when Mia isn't scoring, right, if she has a bad shooting night, she's still helping Leilani score. So if we looked at Leilani's numbers since Mia has joined the team, I'm sure there's a significant difference, right? Leilani hasn't been one to score much. And what she have? Does she have 21 against
21, eight? Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of that has to do with getting her off the ball and having someone like Mia who can facilitate and get Leilani some shots. And she doesn't, you know, she doesn't have to handle the load the entire time. So even when Mia isn't scoring, I mean, her defense is really good. I believe she had like 7 rebounds against ASU. You know, she's doing a lot of things to help us and make everyone else's job easier as well.
So you go into the Stanford game on Sunday, and then it's into the Pac-12 tournament at Mandalay Bay. And the good news is, Charmin, that at least family members will be allowed to go watch the games in Las Vegas. The announcement earlier this week by the Pac-12 conference, but both the men's and the women's games. So, you know, at least, you know, family members will be able to come to the game. What has it been like for you? I talked to Mark Fox a couple of weeks ago, and he says, you know, I haven't even noticed during the games that there are no fans in the stands, in that he is so totally focused on what's going on between the lines. What has it been like for you this year without fans in the stands?
Yeah, I agree with Mark. I haven't noticed not having fans, what I have noticed is like, I'm more conscious that like everything I say can be heard. You know, when you think about, you know, officials and comments that I make, I'm like, yeah, everyone can hear me. So, you know, I've been mindful of that, more mindful in some games than others. But I do think it's a big difference for our student athletes, right? They're used to seeing mom and dad. They're used to hearing the band. They're used to the crowd responding when they do something well or when we're down. Like, our crowd has helped us rally for some of those comebacks that you've seen, you know, at Hasso. I don't know if we had fans for the Arizona game and a little bit more spark in us, can we pull off that upset? Possibly, you know. But, you know, there were no fans at Arizona when we got our butts kicked, you know, maybe that would have been worse. So it's the way that it has to be this year, and we're adjusting. And, you know, I've been talking to our support staff about how do we use this season to help motivate students to come out and support us next year. You know, like it's women's basketball has more been like families and older people, but like, I want some of these students who have been stuck in their dorm rooms or stuck at home for however long to come back to campus next season and say, you know what, let's go see women's basketball. I know they had a rough year. Let's go help them out. And so we're going to think of some strategic ways to try to get the students involved with this team, because I think once they come, they'll really enjoy the effort and what they see from their peers.
Yeah, I've always said that I think the atmosphere at a college basketball game, and it's what makes college basketball different from the NBA in a lot of respects. I think the number one thing is the band. I think the band just creates so much. And then I think the second one, and maybe it's a close second, are the students, because they're close to the floor. They can make so much energy. Those are the two things. The band, I mean, when Al McGuire was the head coach at Marquette and they'd go to the NCAA tournament, he said the first 100 tickets go to the band because of the tempo that they can set. So I totally agree with you, whether it's going to all the frats and the sororities on campus or whatever it happens to be, just do whatever it takes to get them into the building, because they just create so much energy in a college basketball game.
Yep. Hopefully we're in a better place with this pandemic next year to where that can be the case.
We better be. We better be. Talk about, you had several players either before the season or early in the season suffer some injuries. How are they doing as far as rehab? You expect them to come back full strength next year?
Yeah, I really hope so. You know, I have a meeting with our medical staff tomorrow to just get an update on where everyone is, because we do have four people out with, some situations that have put them out for this year, and we need everyone. We need everyone back. So I'm hopeful that, you know, COVID won't delay things and we can get people back on track for 21-22 season.
Yeah, hopefully that will happen. And how have you gone about trying to recruit for next year? I mean, because, you know, in California, they're going to reinstitute some of the programs. I know football has gotten the green light to go, but you know, what happens the rest of the spring with some of the other sports, unknown. Summer camps, you know how important the AAU circuit is during the course of the spring and the summertime as well. How do you go about recruiting for next year?
Yeah, we're in a really good situation from some respects, in that we don't have a ton of scholarships that we need to, we don't have to sign a ton of players, right?
Right.
We'll be at 13 next year. We have a commitment from a 2022 already that puts us at 14. So in that 2022 class, we really have one scholarship left. We've identified who we want and we're doing the work. The relationships have been established, and, you know, we just got to be patient to allow people the time to make the decisions that they need to make. I have been, with the help of my assistants, really working hard to be on the phone and have conversations with some of the younger recruits out there. So the sophomores and the freshmen who will be, you know, kind of the next in line to get this program, you know, back where we want it to be. And so just really developing those relationships as best I can early on with phone conversations with them and their parents. And they've been really excited to call and chat with me, because obviously I can't call them at this point. But that's where a lot of my time and energy is focused, just because we don't really have a ton of spots to fill for the next year.
I would think you'd have to be fairly excited about the off season, assuming that you can continue to practice and have individual workouts, et cetera, because the difference between the first year and the second year is usually pretty dramatic. And you had such a big freshman class that are playing this year. How excited are you in the off season to see that hopefully major step for that significant group of young women?
Yeah. I mean, if we had an off season this past year, we'd be in a lot different position, I think, you know? So it is essential that we get back to our summer access, that we get back to being able to develop players and have them come in understanding what college basketball looks and feels like. I think it's essential that we have a regular preseason, that we have exhibition games, that we have scrimmages, that we have practice guys, and that we have a full slate of non-conference games. I think that that is crucial for us being able to have the improvement that we want.
Well, I know you're looking forward to the game this week against Stanford on Sunday, 1 o'clock, the Pac-12 tournament, the off season, continue recruiting. It's never ending for college coaches. That's for sure. It's a 12-month a year process. We appreciate that you spending the time with us today, and good luck against the Cardinal on Sunday.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Go Bears.
All right. Head coach Sharman Smith getting ready to finish the regular season and then into the Pac-12 tournament next week in Las Vegas. So for Coach Wilcox and for Sharman Smith, I'm Todd McKim. A reminder, a change in the men's basketball schedule for this week. Saturday's game has now been moved to a 1 o'clock start. So an afternoon, a matinee at Haas Pavilion. Rich and I will be on the air at 12:30 as the Bears will finish the regular season against the Oregon Ducks. And then the men will be off next week before they go to the Pac-12 tournament in Las Vegas in the middle of March. So for all of us, we appreciate you listening, as always. And a reminder, as always, go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.